that real good, feel good stuff.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Matt, go back to that game last night real quickly. The Steelers' offense without Ben Roethlisberger is not very scary. Oh. Le'Veon Bell, phenomenal. Antonio Brown, he's on a milk carton right now because of the production decline with Vic in there. I thought that their defense, though, considering the injuries, played better against the Chargers, certainly, than our defense did, and certainly probably than I expected them to. And they fouled out a gutty win. I can't believe that they actually did win that game. I thought the Chargers were in control. It felt like they were for most of the game.
They were. Well, I mean, obviously the pick six and then the Chargers' inability to secure the football throughout the remainder of the football game. You know, and force Vic, who's having trouble within that Steelers offense, to, you know, cultivate a long drive with 2 minutes and some odd seconds. That's easy. You know, one timeout, the two-minute warning, that's easy sledding for a vet like Mike Vick, even though he's not your prototypical quarterback. But, gosh, I mean, Mike Tomlin is just a gambler, if you think about it. You know, going back to, you know, the Ravens game and their opportunities to win the football game in that with, you know, obviously he was kicking a field goal, but I just think he's got an utter confidence, and being that player's coach, the players like that in him, and he likes that his players deliver and make him look right in a situation like last night.
Yes, he certainly does, especially after they let one get away against the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, it was an interesting week for the AFC North. Pittsburgh trailed that entire game. They won it at the end. Cincinnati trailed 24-7 in the fourth quarter.
It was almost garbage time.
And found a way to beat the Seattle Seahawks, winning in overtime. And then, of course, the Browns in overtime, 33-30. Could have been all four AFC North teams went to overtime. In fact, that's what I thought was going to happen. And how about the gutsy call to run that particular play?
What, even to shine a bigger light on that, this is the shocking thing to me. It's not so much, it's like you got one of the best runners in the game who's been running hot since he's come back from suspension. So I don't have a problem giving him the football. But something that no analyst said last night, not Gruden, not Dilfer, or Steve Young that did the postgame show, what's very shocking to me and what I found is they lined up in Wildcat and San Diego took a timeout, okay? So then you come back to your sideline, you huddle up. A lot of times coaches go, and the Chargers did it to get a look of what the Steelers were going to do. And what did the Steelers come out in? The same exact formation, and they ran the Wildcat again, and it still succeeded.
I don't know how it succeeded.
I don't either. Did you see that? Le'Veon Bell anticipated going over top. And when he jumped, he kind of surfed on his lineman, put his left foot down, and he goes, oh, easy path to the end zone. Boop! Ball over the guy. Ball over the line.
I just thought they would call a quicker hitter so that if they got stopped, they would have been able to call a timeout.
And I think initially why he jumped was
to do that.
And I'm sure Tomlin was, you know, up the you know what of a referee along the sideline to call the timeout as well. But how risky that a guy with the ball in his hands might be the guy that has to roll over if he is, in fact, short to call the timeout. And you have your quarterback, who most likely is in control and handles the ball, lined up, you know, wide right as a wide receiver.
The first thing I thought when I saw it is that he was going to do like a Tim Tebow where he took it and went like he was going
tossed it over.
And just tossed it over someone. But that was clearly not.
If he hadn't jumped, I thought the path would have actually been a little bit cleaner because Manti Te'o filled the gap and DeCastro, the pulling guard, kind of absorbed his hit, and Le'Veon Bell jumped, and then he surfed Castro till he got his left foot down and just simply dove across the line. I mean, great play, gutsy call, but what's even gutsier is that they lined up in Wildcat and came right back out in the same formation, and you still got in.
Yes, you did. 216-578-0850. John in Bay Village, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Enjoyed the win, but like everybody else, disappointed with the defense, especially the linebackers. They've kind of disappeared. And the one I kind of watched when I watched the replay was Carlos Dansby, and he just does not seem to be playing with any enthusiasm or hell on fire. You know, he's just kind of going through the motions, looks like. There. He's the guy that was telling us he was all-pro when he came here. So is he hurt? Or
he is battling an ankle injury that has been troublesome and bothersome. I know that. I don't know to the extent that it was limiting him. I know he was out there. We saw kind of a shift at the linebackers. We saw more Tank Carter than Chris Kirksey. And we saw most Armani Bryant we've seen all year at the outside linebacker position. And we saw the most of Nate Orchard that we've seen all year. Armani Bryant playing 37 snaps at outside linebacker. Nate Orchard, 43. And the other guys, Scott Solomon, 31, although he's got a knee injury now. Kruger, just 28. Barkevious Mingo, just 3 defensive snaps in this game, 4 total, including 1 special teams. And I don't know if it was an injury there or not.
I don't know, but I would think and imagine that a very physical running attack of the Baltimore Ravens, probably the best offensive line that we've played thus far this season, and Forsett coming off of 150-plus yards in that Thursday night Steelers football game, you knew, and the lack of Steve Smith, the lack of Crockett Gilmore, running the football was going to be their game plan, and I think that Mingo's repetitions had something to do with that, as you wouldn't want Mingo to have to set the edge consistently against a very physical Ravens offense.
So you think that we'll see if he bounces back this week against the Broncos, who are not nearly as physical up front.
Right, correct.
And it's interesting, you know.
And again, I'm sorry to interrupt, but last year being one of the, a very high-graded pass dropping outside linebacker. Well, this week I think the ball is going to be in the air, as the Broncos are only rushing for less than 80 yards of football game.
Yeah, you have right now the second worst run defense in the NFL in the Cleveland Browns going against the third worst rush offense in the NFL.
The battle of bad.
Yes, and then on the flip side of things, you have the Broncos defense, which is excellent this season, and you look at them against the pass on the year, they've got more sacks than anybody in the NFL. They're forcing more turnovers than anybody in the NFL.
It's Wade Phillips.
That's right. They're giving up just 192.8 yards passing per game, so they're the fifth-ranked passing offense defense against the Browns' sixth-ranked passing offense. So this is, again, this is kind of irresistible force meets a movable object, and we'll see who gets the better of these things, both in terms of the Browns' pass offense against their pass defense, and then in terms of two teams that are struggling mightily, can the Broncos rush offense get going, or does the Browns rush defense get going?
This is not coming from a place of optimism. This is coming from a place of just football sense. I don't believe that the scheme that the Denver Broncos use, that zone scheme, that shotgun running on first and second down, is great for running the football. I know in December last year,
it seemed like it helped us against the Ravens.
Well, I meant yeah, for us against the Ravens, yes, sure, absolutely. Once we loosened them up through the air. And I think that the fact that Peyton Manning's, physically not where he used to be and the threat that he was throughout his career, his pass game is not loosening up the run game. And I think having to do a lot of running out of the shotgun is hurting the Denver Broncos, which I believe if the Cleveland Browns coaches and players, when watching film, can diagnose any tells from watching the offensive line or certain formations of when and downs and distances of when they like to run the football and when they like to throw. If you can dial in those and succeed, I would love to see Peyton Manning have to put the ball in the air 40 times in this football game. Because I think, it, as bad as our defense has been playing, I think it plays into our hands from a pass rush standpoint, and the back end being opportunistic on a tip ball, a PBU, and being allowing ourselves to be very physical on their wide receivers.
And right now, Peyton Manning, 7 interceptions on the year. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns in every game this season. 5 for 5. Yet they are 5-0. They only have an offensive touchdown in 3 out of their 5 games, and yet they are 5-0.
The reason why they're 5, is Denver number 1 in the league right now in total defense?
In total defense, the Denver Broncos come into this game right now. Let's see. Total yards. They are the number 1
4.
Defense, 278 yards a game.
Oh, that's inside the, okay.
They are, in terms of scoring defense, they are number 2. The Jets are giving up 13.8. The Broncos are giving up 15.8.
Yep. Total defense, number 1.
Number 1 in total D, number 2 in scoring defense. That is the reason that they've been so good.
Cleveland Browns number 8 in total offense.
Cleveland Browns are number 8 in total offense. And what do you think the Denver Broncos are?
30th?
I know I thought you were going to go right off your paper. Denver Broncos, in terms of total offense right now, are 30th.
And where are the Browns' total defense?
The Browns on
the same as Denver offense.
They are the same.
That's battle right. Of the bad.
Battle of the bad. So it's an interesting matchup. Two offenses performing at a high level. One offense against one very good high-performing offense right now versus a high-performing defense, and then a struggling offense against a struggling defense. Who wins in that one? Typically, who wins in the NFL in those situations?
Well,
is it better to be better at defense or offense?
Defense wins championships.
That's right. The State of the Union, Coach Pat. Come on, Coach Pat walking by, admiring my suit. I'm typically not as Natalie clad, as it were, on a Tuesday. All right. Let's go to the phones. Anthony in California. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Nate? What's up, Matt?
Not too much, brother. How you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm on my way to work this morning and stuff. I wanted to say a few good things about Mike Pettine. I don't know what Mike Pettine's doing to telling the Browns at halftime, but it seems like a lot of times we play good and we play better when our backs are up against the wall and we're down. So if you look at the Raider game, you look at the San Diego game, and look at the game against Baltimore, we were down all those games. And something that Mike Pettine did in halftime with his adjustments, I don't know what he's telling them at halftime. I don't know if he's smacking those guys around, telling them you better play better. But something he's doing at halftime that we're coming back, making adjustments, is great. And I like the fact that Mike Pettine has his team in check, because when, as a coach, if you lose respect to your team, you don't have your team in check, right? And you ain't coaching them right, they're going to lose all respect and just not go out there and, you know, just get the paycheck and not even care. So those guys are playing. I think we even got all that TMZ crap behind us.
Yep.
And Mike Pettine put his team in the right position right now, and they're listening to him, and they're giving him focus. So I want to say props to Mike Pettine. Keep the good coaching up. Thanks,
there you go.
Guys.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. And he's right. And every place that I've been, from college to professional, I always thought if you had great coaching – the best way to put your finger on great coaching is a great game plan going into the football game, and then your ability to make adjustments in halftime. That is something that we've done very well, but there will be times, and I think in the next 3 weeks and throughout the remainder of the AFC North schedule, that we cannot sacrifice a slow start and banking on playing catch up and making those adjustments in halftime. You have to come in ready.
You got to come out fast. That's what the Browns are going to have to do. We're going to come out fast out of this break when we're joined by Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.